This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Holland. How are you this morning, Charlie? And what's going on in your garden?
I'm great, Dean. How are you doing?
I'm well. I'm really well. Yeah, enjoying this first weekend of summer.
Yes, indeed. And did you enjoy that beautiful full moon last night?
Yeah, I kind of missed it. I knew it was coming. Mm. And it's an important one because, of course, we're getting an extra full moon this summer season. We're having a seasonal blue moon in August because this one came so early. But I missed it. But I understand that you and our producer, Ashy, enjoyed it.
Oh, it was beautiful. So anybody who was awake and looking in the southwest last night would have seen it came up at my place very red and then faded to more of an orange. But it wasn't called the strawberry moon for nothing.
And what about what's going on in your garden? What have you got on the agenda this week?
Well, with the rain, which has been lovely, weeds are coming up like crazy. So I always stay on top of the weeds. Don't let them go to seed. You know, if you don't have time for anything else, just cut off their heads. And that way, at least you minimize more weeds in the future. But one of the things I'm doing after the show today is I'm going to head off to my local nursery. I'm looking to pick up a tree to replace a white pine tree that failed to thrive this spring. It just didn't do anything in the spring. It looked good, looked like it came through the winter fine. But as buds started to emerge, and in the case of pine trees, the buds start to elongate, that tree just sat there, and there was no viable reason that I could see why it failed to thrive, basically. And Elliot dug it out yesterday. So today's his birthday, and I thought, well, he needs something to do today. I'll go get a replacement tree and get him to plant a new tree for us. I'm looking for a dawn redwood because I think that's one tree I don't have on my property at all, and it is a lovely. It's a conifer, but it's a deciduous plant. So it loses its leaves in the fall and grows what looks like an evergreen, but of course it's actually a deciduous plant. And the bark is amazing as they get older and older. It's a real beautiful, peely, orangey red bark.
Neat. Well, I am going to look up a picture of it later because I am very curious. Yes, and I'm sure that Elliot will be very, very thrilled at getting one of those for his birthday.
Exactly. So if you want to look it up, it's called Metasequoia glyptostroboides.
Okie dokie. If I ever get a cat, I'm going to give it that name. I think that would be great calling that out the door. I'm going to give out the numbers now. We would love for you to give us a call with any gardening question, indoor or out, or about trees, or about flowers or bulbs or whatever you like. 416-360-0740. That's our Toronto number. Or if you live anywhere outside Toronto within the province of Ontario, the number is 1-866-740-4740. And do let Ashy know if you are a first-time caller, and I will give you your garden wings, okay? Yeah, you want to do that. And please call often, call early, and one question per call, please, and we will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
We are back here on The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio. And Charlie, before we get to our first caller, I'm thinking that you have a couple of announcements you'd like to run through.
Sure. Yeah. These are just reminders. I've mentioned them before. Today is Canada's biggest garden tour. So from 10 until 4, which means you can continue to listen to the show right up until this particular garden tour opens. And it is the Long Branch Garden Tour. Starting with, and remember, Paul Gallatly joined us in studio, the Tattooed Gardener. He is giving a talk, actually, right now at number 40, 22nd Street. That's all in Toronto. It's a very fun, huge self-guided tour. So you want to get out and do that, or head down to the Royal Botanical Gardens in the Hamilton-Burlington area today, 1:30 till 5, and Sunday, 10 until 3, the Hamilton and Burlington Rose Society is going to have a lovely, probably extremely fragrant rose show going on. Floral displays, potted roses for sale, make and take, floral designs, et cetera, et cetera. Lots going on at that show at the RBG, 680 Plains Road West in Burlington. But Dean, you're a little far away to attend any of these events. Where are you anyway?
I am actually in North Bay this morning because I was on stage last night doing the Tom Thompson musical that I'm a part of. And tonight, you know what I'm going to have tonight? I'm going to have a Sudbury Saturday Night because that's what we're playing this evening.
There you go. Get out there. Did you take your boots? Yeah. You got your boots. Get out there and do some stomping.
I got my boots.
All right, good.
You got it. Okay. We are going to go to our first caller now. We have Don from Toronto. And Don is a first-time caller. Welcome to The Garden Show, Don.
Good morning, Dean. Good morning, Charlie.
Morning.
Charlie, I'm having a hard
time. Don, just before you ask, I just want to give you your garden wings, my friend. Okay, let's do that. There you go. Okay, you're on your way. Give Charlie what you got.
Welcome.
Thank you, Charlie. I have a lot of lilies in my garden. On the leaves, there is this black guck.
Yeah.
All the leaves from top to bottom, especially today, I just picked one a few minutes ago. Even the bulb itself is eaten from inside out.
I know.
I know these little critters. They look like ladybugs, but they're not ladybugs. I know for a fact. But I don't know what to do. I don't know. I put soap and water, I put ammonia, but nothing seems to work. What can you tell me for that?
So I wish I could tell you that there was good news and an easy fix to this problem. What you have is an insect on your lilies. It's called a lily leaf beetle. The adults kind of remind you of ladybugs because they are red, bright red, but they're not round. They're elongated in shape.
Right.
And the black guck you're seeing, this is where they're so clever. Insects amaze me. The black guck, believe it or not, is the poop from the insect. And the insects, before they become those red beetles, the immature stage of the beetle is not a beetle at all, but a little caterpillar. So the little caterpillar poops and covers itself in poop, so birds can't see that it's an insect, and no bird in its right mind is going to eat that black guck. But underneath that is a chewing insect that is chewing every part of the lilies. They'll eat the leaves, the flowers, as you recognize, they just devastate the plants. There's no easy answer. There's no traps. There's soap will not kill them. The one thing you can do, but a lot of times people just run out of patience with this, is the funny thing about the red beetle when it's in the beetle form is it's super easy to spot. So you go to pick it up, and of course, again, it's a very smart bug. What you can pick up one, but the other 10 all drop off the plant down onto the ground, and they always drop with their backs to the ground. So they're red side down and their black bellies are facing up, and now you can't see them because the red is no longer visible. But if you grab some newspaper or put some paper down or a sheet or something below the lilies, grab one, and when the other 10 fall off, you've got them there on the paper or on the sheet to squish. And that's the best thing you can do. Many people have given up growing lilies because of this insect.
Tell me something. I just brought in about 40 stems. Does that bug stay inside the house too?
No. No, it only eats lilies. Once there's no lilies to eat, they'll die.
Oh, my God. Okay, very good. Thank you very much for your time. Can I say
thanks,
Dawn,
and good luck with that. I know it's very, very frustrating. And I shouldn't say they only eat lilies. They also eat fritillaria. So if you have any fritillaria, you may have found holes in the leaves as well on that particular bulb.
Yikes. Well, yeah. On that note, we are going to go to our next break, I should say. But we will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Oh, yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show. Before we go to our next caller, I'm just going to give out the numbers once again, 416-360-0740, which is the number to use if you live in Toronto, or anywhere outside Toronto within the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. Let's go to our next caller. We have Eva calling from Scarborough. Welcome to The Garden Show, Eva.
Yes, good morning. I would like to ask if I could get the recipe for the tomato with the milk powder.
Aha, I know which one recipe you're talking about. Okay, tell you what, I have to look it up. But if you have access to the internet, it is on my website.
I only have a telephone, normal telephone and a radio. I have nothing else.
All right, no worries. I'll bring it up and I will announce it as we get through the show. I just want to make sure I get it correct. It's one of our callers, and I know he's probably listening, is Warner from, I believe, Tillsonburg. Good morning. He's the one who came up with this recipe and swears by it for growing the biggest, best tomatoes ever. And I did put it on charliedobbin.com. So anybody who's listening wants to look it up can. But meanwhile, I'll bring it up and we'll get to it as soon as I can. And stay tuned. Get your pencil and paper out and I will give it in a few minutes, Eva. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Okay, yeah, that is a question that I think comes up every season, isn't it?
I know.
That recipe, and it's, I think you mentioned it's delivered via an upside down, like a funnel or a pop bottle that's been, have the bottom cut out or something like that. Is that correct?
Exactly. It's, a water bottle, or I think it's a 2-liter pop bottle. Yeah, cut out the bottom, and then the neck goes in the ground at the base of each of your tomatoes. So you've got your tomatoes, you've got all these pop bottles and stuck in the ground, and then you pour this lovely mixture into the in through the bottle. So, but yeah, I'll look that up. And in the meantime, let's see what's going on with Donna, I think.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, let's go to Donna, who is calling from Hamilton. Welcome to The Garden Show, Donna.
Good morning. My question is about wood chips.
Yes.
Okay, I have access to a lot of wood chips. Can I use them for mulch in my garden? I use them in my flower beds, but particularly in my strawberries, can I use them in my strawberry patch?
No reason why not. Just be sure that you know, like, where the chips came from matters to some extent, because you don't want to use, for example, chips from a walnut tree, because that will slow down the growth of your strawberries, might even kill your strawberries. So make sure that's part of it. Also, are the chips because of your husband's an arborist or somebody in your family, or where are the chips coming from?
Well, they're actually coming from the municipality, and I can get lots of them because they have free giveaways on occasion.
Right.
So I've got a whole pile right now. I'm just wondering if I could use them on my strawberries.
Yeah, I don't see why not. Usually, particularly right now, the municipalities, as we all know, have many, many ash trees that they are cutting down because they have died because of the highly invasive emerald ash borer, which is killing thousands of ash trees as we speak. So they're slowly but surely cutting down the ash trees. They mulch them up into chips. They are perfectly fine to put on your garden because those borers don't go anywhere near anything other than ash trees. And you likely don't have one of those on your property. If you did, it's no longer alive. And they're very, yeah, they'll break down nicely. And of course, wood chips are great for the garden because it's 100% organic. So you've got that slow decomposition of those chips. Need to be replaced every couple of years. Never put on thicker than 4 inches or 10 centimeters thick. Better to do a little less, between 2 to 4 inches, we always say. So 5 to 10 centimeters thick on the surface of the soil. And sure, strawberries love to get lifted up out of the mud. So why not?
Oh, that's great. Perfect.
All right. Do it.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Donna. So what is it in the walnut chips that are bad for growth?
Okay, so that's a good question. It's a chemical called juglone, and it's called juglone because the Latin name for walnut is juglans, and juglone is called an allelopathic chemical. So the tree produces this chemical and it exudes it from its roots as it's growing, wherever it is, in the forest or anywhere, and it makes the environment around the walnut quite not friendly to other plants. There are some plants that can withstand the presence of juglone, but many plants can't. So that makes walnuts stand alone and own the forest, so to speak. And that, I think, allows them to get as big and as, grand as they do. Is that's how they've evolved over the thousands of years to be what they are. Well, so we know that where there's a walnut, there often isn't a lot of other happy plants. And so that's why we try to avoid using walnut products, leaves or chips in our gardens, just because the allelopathic effect is still there in that, whether it's dead or alive, the material still contains juglone, which, like I said, will make it very tough for the other plants to thrive.
Gotcha. Wow. That's fascinating. I would have never known one tree was but was worse than the other. And I actually would have probably been leery about putting ash chips down. But as you say, they don't go after anything, those borers, other than the ash trees.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So that's why once the borers have killed an ash tree, they fly away and look for another ash, which is kind of interesting when you think about it.
Wow.
It's like when we were talking about the lily leaf beetles, they annihilate the lilies and kill them. And you think to yourself, well, isn't that sort of silly that so many of these, what we would consider pests, particularly insect pests, that they destroy the host and then they have nothing to eat and then they die, or they have to fly away and find more of their very specific food, which is the only thing that they eat.
Yeah.
And same with the ash borers have, their heyday when they first arrived as invasive insects. Obviously the population went crazy of that insect because it was so many ashes to go after. But now there's so few left that the populations have declined immeasurably. And there's a few ash that will have survived. So that'll be the other thing, is the challenge is to try and find the ash that is not susceptible to the borer and is able to resist it and grow those in the future. Because that's the only way we're going to have ash trees.
Yes, indeed. Wow. Okay, let's go to, we've got Vanessa on the line, and she is calling from Brampton. Welcome to the Garden Show, Vanessa.
I don't know what's going on.
Are you there,
on.
Vanessa?
Yep, morning. I can hear you, Vanessa.
Yep, morning. Okay, well, maybe we will go on to our next caller then. We will go on to Valerie. Yeah, Valerie's calling from Toronto. Welcome to the Garden Show, Valerie.
Thank you. My question.
Morning.
Good morning. How do you get rid of poison ivy?
Not easily. So is this on your property?
Yes, acres.
Acres.
The problem, The property is in Frontenac. It's not in Toronto.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. So I've resorted to pulling the plant out of the ground. But mm-hmm. after you pull the plant, what do you do with this plant?
Burn it?
No, they prefer not to burn it.
Yeah, no, that's not even such a good idea because then the smoke can be dangerous. If you've got really acres of poison ivy, so two things come to mind. One is a chemical eradicant. Roundup is available in your local garden centers and home stores under lock and key for exactly your problem. Poison ivy is considered a noxious weed, and it is a plant that we are legally allowed to spray and kill with Roundup. The younger the plants, the more effective the spray will be. So if you are going the Roundup route, make sure, of course, you're fully clothed, top to bottom, gloved, etc., and you're spraying the Roundup on a non-windy day, and you're spraying it, right close to the plants, and you recognize it's going to take up to a week or more for the plants to really die. But the main thing is that you do that spraying with the intention of killing the plants. You must touch the green leaves with the spray in order for it to be effective. Roundup will kill anything green it touches, so be very careful. You spray what you want to kill. The other thing that works is suffocating it, and that's, again, if you've got acreage, this wouldn't work, but in a patch of poison ivy that you need to control or want to control, a big tarpaulin, again, placed over the plants, edges all held down with rocks or soil or logs, and you are suffocating the plant in the sense that you're not allowing any light on the plant and you're not allowing any air on the plant. And it will take months, but eventually the plants will die that are under the tarpaulin.
Okay. I will try that. It's been hard. Thank you.
It's really hard. But make sure it is poison ivy. Well, it sounds like you know it is poison ivy, but it can be a funny plant. It's it can look so many different ways. But if you are, anytime you want to kill something like poison ivy or any of the noxious plants, get at it as soon as you can, as early as you can in the season. Younger plants will always die faster than older plants.
We have lots of room on the line, so please give us a call, 416-360-0740. That's the Toronto number, or 1-866-740-4740. We're going to give Vanessa a try again. Oh, you have something, Charlie? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Dean, just let's go back for a second. Eva called from Scarborough looking for that famous recipe that, as I mentioned, is on my website, charliedobbin.com. This was Warner from Tilsonburg years ago, who called with this recipe, and he swears his tomatoes are the best, and anybody who's used this recipe has said the same thing. So each plant, as you mentioned, gets the neck of a plastic water bottle inserted near the plant. The bottom is cut out of the bottom, and every week you scoop 2 teaspoons of skim milk powder and 1 teaspoon of Epsom salts into the open bottle. Then you run water into the bottle until all the powder has dissolved. And that, of course, the skim milk powder and the Epsom salts will dissolve in the water, go down to the roots of the plant, and apparently the best tomatoes ever are grown with that technique. So there it is, Eva. I hope you got that written down. 2 teaspoons of skim milk powder and 1 teaspoon of Epsom salts weekly with water on each tomato.
And I do love tomatoes. What are your favorite type of tomatoes to grow, Charlie?
Well, you know what? There's so many different kinds for different reasons. But the one that I've really enjoyed the last few years, because it's multi-purpose, it's one called Primo Red. So it is a good size, not as big as a beefsteak, but, you know, a good hefty tomato, very nice sweet flavor. So great slicer for slicing on sandwiches, or, you know, the old BLTs, or putting into salads. It also freezes really nicely so that you can pull out a bag of frozen tomatoes in the middle of winter and feel like it's still August in your kitchen. And that one, you know, it's not nothing real fancy. It's not purple or yellow or striped, or it's not even a heritage variety, but it is certainly one that I've just had real good success with. The other thing I love about it is that it's what we call a determinant tomato. So it does not grow 8 feet tall and need lots of staking and wiring and cabling. It only grows about a meter tall, and each plant provides probably about a bushel of tomatoes. So, you know, 1 meter tall tomato just laden with tomatoes is just delicious, and I'm looking forward to them.
Sounds primo to me. Okay, we are going to try and give Vanessa another try here. She's calling from Brampton. Welcome to the Garden Show, Vanessa.
Hi, I can hear you now, but I couldn't before.
Great.
Just in case we get weird stuff going on the phone, I have rust on my hollyhocks. The bottom leaves are all turning yellow. I have three plants, but they're spaced far apart, and only one of them has it. It had it last year, and I cut it right back, and it's come back again this year. Do I cross my fingers?
Sorry, go ahead.
There's a rabbit in the garden. Sorry. I've got a baby.
So, Russ, rust on hollyhocks is very, very common. I find it interesting that you've got hollyhocks that don't have rust. That's what's unusual. Maybe the thing to do is save seeds from the hollyhocks that aren't showing rust, and save those and really propagate those as your major hollyhock choice, because the hollyhock rust, as you recognize, is very, very common. It looks like somebody has shot a shotgun through the leaves of the hollyhock, because the little orange dots that are the fungal disease, the rust disease, the little orange dots, the orange drops out, and we end up with green leaves with little holes all over them. Usually what I recommend, if you love hollyhocks, and who doesn't, is they're tall. You know, of course, the leaves are nice, but they're not the main feature of the plant. It's all about the flowers. Is make sure that the hollyhocks are planted towards the back of the garden, and that you've got mid-sized plants growing in front of the hollyhocks, so that at this time of year, as the flowers are starting to go up and the leaves are starting to go down, you're not seeing the leaves because you've got something else filling that mid-range area of your garden.
All right. I will try taking the seeds from the new ones.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah, no, it's great. I love hollyhocks. Talk about an old-fashioned plant. It is.
Oh, I know.
It's
They're
lovely.
Gorgeous. And now I'm going to go and chase that rabbit.
Okay.
Thank you, Charlie.
Good luck. Wabbity wabbit.
Yep. Duck season, rabbit season.
You know, it's so funny. Rabbits.
Okay, we are going to take. Yeah, we certainly have them in our garden. The rabbits, the squirrels, we got them all. So they.
The chipmunks. Oh, yeah.
You know, I think the squirrels are on my wife's naughty list more than the rabbits are, in fact. So, but they seem to continue to dig up her stuff. So,
always something.
Part of the journey.
Yeah.
Always something. We are going to take another break. We'll be back with more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
We are back here on The Garden Show. And Charlie, let's go directly to our next caller. We have Mike calling from Cambridge. Welcome to The Garden Show, Mike.
Yeah, good morning. I have an invasive weed in my lawn. It's got grows in clumps, and it's got a small blue flower on it. You run over it with a lawnmower, and the lawnmower, it just goes right over top, but doesn't do anything.
Okay, so I wonder, because I think a lot of us are finding that this particular plant, it's called, the common name is Speedwell. It's actually a Veronica is the proper name. Speedwell. Well, yes, that's probably it right there. couple of, so your problem is you want to get rid of it, I assume. Can you, is, can you possibly pull it, or is it just too
much? I've been pulling it out, and it comes out in big clumps. It's growing everywhere in the lawn. I don't know where it came from, but I've had it here for a couple of years now.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, because I was going to say, if in, I haven't seen it in past years the way I'm seeing it this year. This might have been the mild winter. Somehow the Speedwell seeds really seem to have come through the winter well and are growing like stink. Now, they don't like drought. They're very shallow-rooted, these plants. So when we get into dry, I mean, the, probably the more you water and fertilize, the greener and bigger and happier the Speedwell is. So if you can possibly let it be in a droughty situation, the grass will not die, but the Speedwell will. Otherwise, yeah, it's another one of those suffocate the weed, pull the weed, put up with the weed, you know. There's no chemical sprays that I know of. Well, that's not true. There are the herbicides that are legal in Ontario. One is vinegar-based, and one is lemon juice-based. So these are, you know, acids, basically. And they will kill the Speedwell, but they will also kill the lawn where it's growing because they're not selective herbicides. Unless somebody who's listening has an idea that just pulling, smothering, or using a non-selective vinegar-based herbicide is going to be your best bet to eliminate that plant, because you really do not want it going to flower and spreading more seeds so that your whole lawn becomes a Speedwell lawn.
Thank you very much.
Good luck with that. Sorry. But yeah, like thanks, I said, somebody who's listening might have a good idea too.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I think this may be, you know, sometimes the shows have a theme. A few weeks ago, it was boxwood.
Yeah.
This show seems to be maybe more about invasive weeds. So,
weeds,
because I think
pests.
Our next caller, who is weeds and pests, you got it. And in fact, I think this next caller, who is Michael, also may have a comment about some invasive. And he's a first-time caller. Welcome to the Garden Show, Michael.
Hi, good morning and welcome. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
Morning. Hold on. You need your wings.
I got to give you your garden wings quickly, okay?
There you go,
Michael.
Okay. Oh, I'm flying.
Good.
The two persons, one with the poison ivy and the other one with the beetle, those invasive beetles. Two mixtures I found that one single actually solution I found was vinegar, cleaning vinegar with a bit of any liquid detergent, using the hot sun, and those are gone. It works. Give it a try.
For the beetles?
For the beetles as well, it works, yes.
Oh.
It kills the beetles.
And the poison ivy.
And the poison ivy. It will kill them. In the hot sun, it will kill it.
Yeah. Well, that's a really good point, because when we spray any plant in the hot sun, it, even just plain soap and water, you can usually kill the plant. So hot sun is never recommended when we're spraying, unless we're trying to kill whatever it is we're spraying. And so it's always best. A hot sunny day is going to be your best kill day when it comes to things like poison ivy. I'd be careful of hot sun with the lily leaf beetles, though, because then you might end up killing the lilies.
Well, yes. I mean, I chased them from the vine. You can chase them because then they're drafted towards the hot surfaces, I find, on the side of the house. And there, not on the vine. But when they move to the brick, that is when I attack them. Yeah, and it works.
That makes sense, actually. Right. So you make sure the insects have dropped off the plant, and then you hit them with your cleaning vinegar and a bit of detergent and some water, I assume, too? Or is it just straight vinegar and a bit of detergent?
Yes, exactly. And for the vegetation, directly to the vegetation with the cleaning vinegar, pure. And it works. It'll kill it.
Okay, good. Good to hear. Thank you very much. And hopefully Valerie is still listening, because she was having some issues. Obviously, a few people are having issues with pests. So thank you for those tips. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thanks, Michael. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah.
Make sure you call back again. Our numbers, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4. or 7:40. We have to take a short break, but we'll be back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
We are back here on The Garden Show, and Charlie, I got to tell you, this is one of the quickest hours of my week. I always have so much fun on The Garden Show. I was telling somebody just this morning, you never, ever know what is going to come down the pipeline. You never know what the theme of the show is going to be.
Until you're about halfway into the show and you go, aha, I hear the theme.
Got it. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have Lorraine calling from Peterborough. Well, welcome to The Garden Show, Lorraine.
Thank you, and good morning.
Morning.
I have this weed, which I think is horse's tail, that it just spreads everywhere in my flower bed.
And that's a real hard one. That's a really hard one to get rid of. Okay, so that one, I mean, the things we've said are still true. You heard the last caller referring to using cleaning vinegar. On a hot, sunny day and spraying specifically plants you want to kill, like the horse's tail. It does have roots underground that are incredibly fibrous and able to withstand very, adverse conditions and survive. Like, this is a really, really old plant. Like, there's fossil records from a very long time ago of this plant. So we know it's a tough one to kill, but suffocation can work. Like the last caller said, the cleaning vinegar on a hot, sunny day can kill just about anything. Digging it is going to be very difficult. If it's all mixed in with your chosen plants, like in a border of perennials, your only way to really eradicate that horse's tail will be to, believe it or not, take the whole bed apart, take all the plants out that you love, take all the soil away from their roots, not on a hot, sunny day, of course, and then repot them, put them aside with the clean roots and clean soil, and then kill everything in that garden that you don't want, and then turn around and replant once things are clear of the weed. That is your going, believe it or not, is your best route.
And these were all new beds just 3 years ago. You know, it was all new soil, new plants and everything.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Is it possible, like, where did it come from? Is it a plant that you've had in your neighborhood?
Did it come from
a neighbor, or where did it come from?
No, when I came here, like I bought a condo, and these flower beds were just established just that year. They had put them in and put the new plants in, so I have no idea. But I just know this weed is just so invasive in it.
Hmm. Yes. So it's blown in from somewhere, or unfortunately, it came in with the soil. It's an unusual plant, and it is a tough one to get rid of. Yeah. So if this is going to be a problem throughout the condo, this might be something to strike a gardening committee within the condo and sit down and do some research and some strategizing to eliminate the plant from the property. Because if you remove it from one bed, it'll just, and it's somewhere else, it's just going to blow in again.
Oh, okay. Like originally, I think this is a farmer's field, you know, and that's probably good. I know that's where it grows a lot. All right, then I guess I have to try the vinegar solution.
Worth a try.
Yep. Okay.
Thanks for calling and good luck with that, Lorraine.
Thanks for the call.
Looking quickly on the web here, it is, like I say, it's an unusual plant. So it bears spores, right? It's not seeds, it's spores, microscopic spores. So fertile stems in early spring and non-photosynthetic, start to grow. Rhizomes can pierce through the soil up to 6 feet in depth.
Yes.
That's roots in the soil. And yeah, many conditions that it can tolerate, very hard to get rid of, even with the help of herbicides. So yeah, just there is good stuff on the web, no question. Just look up horse tails.
Gotcha. Our next caller is Stella. She's calling from Toronto. Welcome to the Garden Show, Stella, who is a first-time caller, right?
Good morning.
Okay, so I'm going to give you garden wings quickly, Stella. Okay.
Thank you.
I love to give those out to our first-time callers. And then
welcome.
What do you got for Charlie?
Oh, thank you so much. I just wanted to mention about my rose bush plant. I have this plant I've had it for 20 years in the backyard, and it's producing a lot of roses, like in bunches, but I've noticed lately on the leaves that there's like rust marks on the leaves, and I was wondering what's causing this and how can I get rid of it?
Okay. So is it when you say rose bush, is it like a shrub rose? Like how is it, like sort of 3 feet wide and 3 feet tall or bigger than that?
Yeah, something like that. Well, I would say maybe 4 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's 4 feet. Like it grows. It's like a rose bush.
Yeah.
But because I didn't want it to grow so tall, I sort of made it become an arch over my fence. And mm-hmm. It's over the fence, I sort of bent it over the fence because I didn't want it to grow so tall, right?
Right.
When
rose canes are bent so that they want to go vertical, but we bend them horizontal, that causes more flowers. And it's actually one of the ways we train climbing roses or rambling roses to produce more flowers. If you let them just go straight vertical, you'll have flowers up on the tips. But if you bend them horizontal, you'll have flowers all along the stem. So that is a really good thing to do. When you see rust, so rust is orange spots. Roses are also very susceptible to something called black spot, which is just what it sounds like, black spots on the leaves. These are fungal diseases. They are brought on by high humidity, warm temperatures, the kind of sort of world we've been living in the last 2 weeks. So that's why if a plant is susceptible to fungal diseases, you will start seeing them when it's very, very humid and we're getting lots of rain. What do you do? Well, you can prevent fungal diseases with a fungicide, which is usually a sulfur-based spray or powder. Once you've got a fungal disease on any of your plants, you will not be able to eradicate the fungus, but you can stop it from spreading, again, by using one of the fungicides that are available in your garden centers. Remember as well, you will limit fungal diseases with good air circulation. So lots of air flow around your plants means less fungus. Also, lots of sun. Roses want a minimum of 6 hours of sun every day. So lots and lots of sun. Again, that limits the growth of fungal spores that spread around to not only that plant, but others. So lots of air, lots of sun, preventative fungicides. And the fourth very important thing is what we call good garden hygiene. So as leaves are dying, which they will do if there's a fungal infection, you must clean them up. If you want to go out there and remove the leaves that are showing evidence of fungus, pick them off. Do not compost them. Do not keep them on the property. They get bagged into the green garbage bag and sent away to the landfill. The best way, again, good garden hygiene keeps the area clear of the inoculant being spread around, which, of course, are the fungal spores. So that's what you're going to have to do, Stella. Thanks for calling, though. And, wow, what a show.
Yeah. The invasive show. There we are. The invasive fungal pest show.
Exactly. So whether we had bunny rabbits distracting our callers or we had so many pests, we've just run the whole gamut there. So thank you, everybody, and good luck with all those pest problems. And what I've said is actually true for all of these pest problems is good garden hygiene. Other than the bunny rabbits, they don't really care about the hygiene. Cage your lettuce if you have to. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Dean. Good luck with your show tonight and good to hear from you and drive safely. Thanks, Ashy. Couldn't do any of this without Ashy. Take it easy. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.